Standing at the precipice of his cliffside property in Carpinteria, California, Liam Samuel Noon contemplates the choices that led him here. Despite his wealth, he never replaced the modest craftsman bungalow called Windbreak with something grander. As regret washes over him, he's suddenly pushed over the cliff's edge. His final thought is surprisingly selfless: better me than them. Months later, his daughter Nora, an architect specializing in neuroarchitecture, is shocked when her estranged half-brother Sam delivers a bombshell. Their father's fatal fall wasn't an accident. This revelation stirs painful memories for Nora, who had become estranged from her father after her mother's death a year earlier. Now, with both parents gone, she wonders, what good is knowing you were wrong when there's no one left to hear your apology? When Nora tells her fiancé Jack about Sam's suspicions, he offers to accompany her to California, but she keeps him at a distance, a pattern since her father died. Despite her reservations, Nora agrees to investigate. At Windbreak, they meet Detective O'Brien, who insists the case is straightforward. Yet troubling details emerge: no perimeter cameras except at the front gate, and an unidentified jogger who discovered the body but disappeared before police arrived. As Nora explores Windbreak, familiar scents, sage, coconut soap, sandalwood, trigger memories. The bookshelves contain unexpected playbills, suggesting her father enjoyed theater, plus family photos with all three of his families. Who was this man she thought she knew so well? While examining dusty photographs, Nora is startled by Clark, the property's caretaker. When asked about her father's final night, Clark's steady demeanor wavers. He reveals the sprawling property has numerous lesser-known access points: old service roads, hiking trails, even a hidden beach entrance. Following a lead about the mysterious Solinger Group, Sam and Nora visit Uncle Joe, their father's cousin and business partner. Despite his composed exterior, Joe's careful word choice and defensive posture when discussing Cece Salinger hint at complicated history. Later, they track down Cece herself, who reveals she'd been negotiating to purchase Windbreak before the deal abruptly collapsed. Most disturbing is her final disclosure. Their father had called her twice on the night of his death, both calls going to voicemail, leaving no messages, only silence. At their hotel, Nora learns from Carmen, the night receptionist, about her father's generosity. While viewing photos, she realizes her father's phone wasn't among his recovered possessions. At Noon Properties headquarters, they uncover disturbing facts. His phone last pinged in Santa Barbara weeks after his death, his laptop is missing, and he had disabled cloud backups for his devices, Uncle Joe's, and recently deceased executive Grace's. What was he concealing? At Grace's apartment, her husband Paul Turner reveals Grace had warned him not to trust his kids. The EMT who found their father describes the mysterious jogger as tall, Caucasian, and oddly dressed in cargo pants and a sweatshirt, unusual jogging attire. In her father's childhood home, Nora finds height markings and a carved inscription, Corey and Liam between two hearts. At his impersonal apartment, she learns he'd spent most time at Windbreak. When Sam suddenly abandons their investigation, Nora returns to Windbreak alone. She discovers Davidson Salinger, Cece's ex-husband, lives nearby, and both attended Yale with her father. Old yearbooks show her father, Uncle Joe, and young Cece Kane together. Clark eventually reveals a woman named Corey, the same name from her father's childhood closet, visited Windbreak several times. Returning home late one night, Nora finds Jack already in bed. She recognizes her failure to bridge the distance between them, reflecting that beginnings and endings share the same DNA. They are the two things we all try to fix. That night, she dreams of her father warning her, "Don't miss this too." In the morning, Jack reveals he's accepted a position at a Michelin-starred restaurant in California. When he gently asks what Nora wants, promising he wants her to have it, she realizes she's been holding back out of fear of loss. Meanwhile, a forensic pathologist confirms that while investigators correctly ruled out suicide, their conclusion of no foul play seems premature. The fall pattern suggests a push rather than an accident, and a large cheek contusion indicates a possible altercation. something isn't adding up. After falling asleep surrounded by photo albums, Nora discovers a literary journal from Midwood High School containing pieces by someone named Cordelia Ryan. Under one story titled The Children Go, there's a handwritten note, LS, in case I don't say it later, they're all for you. When Nora sees Cordelia G. Ryan's photo, she makes a shocking discovery. Cordelia is Grace, who's been part of their lives for decades. Memories flood back. Grace at school plays when Nora was 8, picnicking in Central Park when she was 12, at her father's office, and even after her mother's death. She recalls her mother telling Grace, "I love you," her father whispering, "There you are," to Grace, and seeing them walking together with her father's hand on Grace's hip. When confronted, Uncle Joe confirms that their father and Grace were involved for decades, and the company was always meant to go to her. After Grace died 8 months ago, their father couldn't bear running the company without her. Upon returning to New York, Nora and Sam confront Paul Turner, who finally confesses, "I pushed him, but I didn't mean to push him over the edge." Paul had gone to scatter Grace's ashes at Windbreak when he encountered their father unexpectedly. During their argument, their father's admission that he couldn't figure out how to be without Grace broke something in Paul. He fled when EMTs confirmed their father was dead, thinking of his pregnant daughter. Walking through Brooklyn Heights afterward, Sam and Nora process their grief. "I just miss him," Sam admits. They reflect on Paul's relationship with Grace, how he walked into it knowing where he stood, but loved her anyway. This leads them to contemplate their own barriers to love, how they're up against themselves, their heartbreak, their pasts. Months later, Nora visits Jack at his new restaurant in California. After enjoying a perfect meal, she keeps it simple. "I was just wondering if, after work tonight, you'd like to go and get some ice cream." With his forehead against hers, he says, "That sounds perfect." Sometimes the most important discoveries come not from uncovering others' secrets, but from confronting our own hearts and finding the courage to cross the distances we've created.